You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, what is up, Grace Church? It's me again. It's a little too much me going on right now. Welcome. It is so good to have you guys. If whether you're watching online or whether you're joining us in the venue or the cafe, we are so glad that you're here worshiping at Grace Church. My name again is Kent Lyles. I am the Olathe campus pastor. Very excited to say that. I'm excited about what God is doing in Olathe. Look, we are going to be in several places in Scripture today. So if you need a Bible, if you need a message, a service handout, if you need a pen, just lift up your hand and someone will get that to you. We're going to start off today in a passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verses 9 and 10. That says this: two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to lift him up. Two are better than one. You know, my wife and I, Kim, we will be celebrating our 29th wedding anniversary next month. And yeah, woo, that's good. Yeah, yeah. She's really cool. I think we're gonna make it. So, you know, like all of us in life, whether you're married, whether you're single, young or old, it doesn't matter. We all go through highs in life. We all go through lows in life. And you know, a few years ago, there was a time where Kim and I were experiencing one of our lowest lows. And it wasn't a marriage issue. It was just kind of a life issue that happened to us. And without going into the details, it was really a time where we were experiencing some deep confusion. We felt betrayed. We felt alone. We felt like very few people understood what we might be going through, or maybe that very few people even cared for that matter. But at that time, we were actually in a small group, and there were a few couples from that group that decided to wade into that mess with us. And they just were there for us. They just loved us. And I was actually a part of a smaller men's group also at the time. And one of those men in particular just came over to our house, sat down in our living room for hours, and just listened to us and prayed with us and prayed for us and loved us and lovingly gave us truth. And, you know, these people from these small groups that we were involved in brought to us what we desperately needed at that time. And, you know, what we didn't need was a lot of advice, a lot of people telling us what we should do, how we should be responding, although we did have some well-meaning friends who were telling us those things. What we actually needed is what these friends brought to us from our groups, and it was this. It was grace. We needed grace in that moment, and these dear people became a source of grace for us. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for God for how he used them in our lives at that time. When we fell, we had others to pick us up, because two are better than one. Now, that wouldn't have happened had we not previously established grace-based relationships with these people, had we not extended ourselves to connect with others in genuine and transparent relationships. But we did. And at that time when we needed them, then we had someone there who said, look, you're struggling. Here's what you can do. You can lean on me. Lean on me. Which happens to be the title of the series that we're currently in the middle of, Lean on Me. And over the last couple of weeks, Tim has been sharing with us about our need for community, our need for relationships. And so far, we've learned how to lean on me for growth. And we've seen how spiritual growth happens in community, because you can't grow spiritually until you're connected relationally. And then last week we saw what it was to lean on me for love. And we saw what love looks like in community. And today we're going to learn what it means to lean on me for grace. So if you would join me in a word of prayer and we'll jump right in today. Father, we are so glad to be together with you in this place. And we believe when we gather together like this that you are here with us, that you're present. And we believe also that you have work to do, that you want to pursue us. You want to work in our hearts. We've come here in need of grace. And Father, I pray that you would provide that. Lord, I pray that you would encourage each heart. I'm not sure how everyone came here today, but I pray that they leave better than they came. And so, Lord, be in this moment with us. We ask you to do all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So life is better connected. Now, I didn't want you to forget that as I continue to talk, so I wore a shirt that says that very thing. Life is better connected. And in case you couldn't see my shirt, I actually wrote it on this screen just in case. And with a happy face so we can all be happy about it. Life is better connected. I'm actually going to use this for an illustration later. I just didn't want to be a blank screen. So, now, I think we all understand this to some degree. To some level, we get the fact that life is better with other people. We understand the concept of teamwork, that when we have more people together trying to accomplish something, we can usually do it better than just one person doing it. Synergy is a good thing. Collective energy, moving forward for a purpose or for a goal. We usually understand that the life journey is better with other people involved in it. Now, connection is beneficial. We get it. But I think that sometimes we don't understand this, that one of our deepest needs as human beings is connection. Connection to other human beings. It doesn't just make life better. It's actually something that each of us need at the core of our soul. We need connection. There was a study done by a Dr. Greg Hendricks, and it was posted on Psychology Today's website back in January of this year. And his team asked over 3,000 people internationally what happiness was and what contributed to it. The results revealed a tendency to consider happiness in terms of positive emotions and inner peace or harmony. Now, the researchers found that there were two contextual factors associated with happiness. First, and by far the most important, was the social relational factor. And second was the physical health factor. And this makes sense. We've got friends, I'm healthy, typically happy. Now, the article stated this, that the unified approach to psychology offers us a very clear scientific framework to understand these important findings. First, it identifies very explicitly the core psychosocial need as the need to be known and valued by important others. Our core need in our soul is to be known and valued by important others. In common sense terms, this means we have good relationships with family, with loved ones, with friends. Now, this article only confirms what the Bible has taught for centuries, and that's this, that God has designed us with a need to connect. We are built this way. We are created this way. It's through human connection that we give and receive the things that we need to survive and thrive in this life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We get that in giving and receiving through human connection. And that giving and receiving is what the Bible terms as grace. Grace. You see, life is better connected because God designed it that way. It's good to follow the designer's instruction for life. God created us to be connected. Two are better than one because in connection, we discover the treasures of God's grace. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write down this phrase, grace is essential for life. Grace is essential for life. Now, there may be some of you here that don't believe that being in community is necessary, that it is essential. You're okay. You get the idea of teamwork. You get the idea of having surface relationships, connections with people in order to get through life. But the idea of being in deeper community where you're being a little more transparent, where you're being a little more vulnerable. In fact, when I say those words, transparent, vulnerable, right now your skin's crawling a little bit. You don't think that's a necessity. I'm good. I'm good with this right here. I don't need this down here. That's fine. Let me just suggest to you that saying I don't need community is saying I don't need grace. And by saying I don't need grace, it's like saying I don't need oxygen. I don't need air. I'm good, thank you. You see, grace is to the soul what air is to the lungs. That's how God designed us. God designed our bodies physically to require air. God designed our souls to require grace. It's not optional. It's necessary. It's essential. So what is grace? I mean, exactly, what is grace? Well, the word is actually found 150 times in Scripture. In both Hebrew and Greek, it means benefit, gift, or favor. Now, probably the most common definition for grace in church circles is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That's receiving or giving blessing that is unwarranted or undeserved. Now, perhaps a more extensive definition of grace is this. Grace is God doing in and through our lives that which we are unable to do on our own. Grace is God doing in and through our lives that which we are unable to do on our own. You see, grace is divine. Grace is otherworldly. Grace is supernatural. And we need it. It is essential. It's essential even to know God. It's essential for salvation. You have to have grace just to have a relationship with God. You have to have grace to enter into heaven. You can't be saved without it. You can't work your way into heaven. There's no amount of good works you can do to earn favor with God. Grace is unmerited favor. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." We're saved by grace, not by anything we do. It's by what God did. You're saved by grace through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace is essential just to enter into the kingdom of God. Grace is also essential for inner strength, for wholeness, for well-being, to be strong internally in your inner being. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, when he writes this, he's having a discussion with God about an infirmity that he's dealing with. And he says, "God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" My power is made perfect in your weakness. You can't do it, but I can. I've got the grace you need to do what you can't do. I can give you inner strength. Grace is also essential for supernatural living. You see, if you're a Jesus follower, you're here on purpose and for a purpose. You've got something supernatural to accomplish in this life, and you can't do it without grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me." The work that we're called to do on this earth happens as the grace of God is working in us and through us, doing that which we cannot do on our own. Grace is essential. Now, that gives us a good theological groundwork for grace, right? That's a good biblical framework for understanding what grace is. But I believe that to truly understand grace, we must experience it in a relational context. It's one thing to know it here, but it's a totally different thing to experience it here. Grace is simply God's love showing itself in relational determination. God was so determined to have a relationship with us that he extended grace to us. We were sinners. We're separated from him. We're far away. What did he do? He extended grace so he could have us. He so desires to have a relationship with us that he extended grace so that we could do that. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the grace of God displayed on its grandest scale. It is his radical and ridiculous and insane way to connect with us in relationship. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted us so badly that he did. That's grace. It's relational. Grace is experiential. It's an experience. Grace is the experience of God's promises in our souls. It's one thing to know the promises of God, but to experience them is something else. Grace is the experience of love that surpasses knowledge. Grace is the experience of peace that passes understanding. Grace is the experience of a life more abundant. It's being filled with all the fullness of God. Grace is the experience of joy. Unspeakable. You can't even describe it. That's a gift of grace. Grace is healing when we're wounded. Grace is cleansing and forgiveness when we sin. Grace is courage in the face of fear or insecurity. Here's what grace says. Grace says, I accept you. I accept you just like you are. Grace says, I'm not leaving you. I love you. I forgive you. Grace says, I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. I'm not accusing you. Grace says, I value you. That's grace. See, we need grace. We need those gifts. We need, grace is the game changer. Grace is transformative. It changes us. Grace is essential for life. And not only is it essential for life, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Grace is experienced in connection. Grace is essential for life, and grace is experienced in connection. Grace is not a formula. It's not an equation. It's not something you can muster up or manufacture. It is a gift that is received and given through relational connection. First of all, in our connection with God. First of all, in our connection with God, we receive grace. The first time you receive grace is when you move toward God for the forgiveness of your sins in a desire to have a relationship with Him. Maybe you're here and you've done that. Maybe you haven't. But that is the first time. If you're a Jesus follower, that's the first time you tasted heaven. When you move toward God and you said, God, I am a sinner. I deserve the punishment for sin, but I know that your grace abounds. Your grace is bigger than my sin. And I know that you came into this world and you died for me and you want to have a relationship with me, and I'm just asking you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to forgive me. And the moment you did that, you experienced grace for the very first time. And you were drenched in the love and the grace of God. And that was awesome. See, we experience grace, first of all, in our connection to God, and we continue to experience that grace as we stay connected to Him. But not only do we experience in our connection to God, we experience grace in our connection to others. So often our perception of God's grace is derived from a more tangible perception of the grace that we receive from other people. How many times have you felt like God was just distant or cold? Or uncaring? How many times have you just felt like, you know what, heaven just is sealed off? I'm not hearing from God. I don't feel the grace of God. I don't sense it. Does He even care? Does He even know what I'm going through? Is He even around? Only to have a friend show up, delivering the grace of God to you in human form. That's what happened for Kim and I, that story I told you at the very beginning. Man, heaven was sealed off for us, but you know what? God showed up in different ways. He brought people with His grace to us. Grace is experienced in our connection with God and to other people. Perhaps you are here and you're right in that same place. You're saying, yeah, you know what? It's been cold. I've not been hearing from heaven. I don't feel like God is anywhere around me. I'm not sensing His grace. You need some grace-based relationships. You need human connection. You need someone to bring God's grace to you. Or perhaps you know someone who is broken and who's hurting, and they need you to be the tangible grace in their life. You see, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, it says, as each one has received the gift of grace, as we've received the gift of grace, what are we supposed to do? Minister the same one to another as good stewards or overseers or distributors of the manifold grace of God. Be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means many or varied. Grace is like this gigantic gift. It's the gift of God. It's like if you were on Christmas, were to go down under the tree and you got this huge present and you pulled it out. It was this gigantic box and you undid the bow and you flipped open the top and you looked inside, and inside was tons of other gifts. And you just keep going and you just keep coming gift after gift after gift. That's what grace is. It's a many. It's the varied gift of God. It's the gift it keeps on giving the whole year. Thank you, Christmas Vacation fans. Yes, that's the gift. That's the gift of God. There are a number of ways in which we can minister or distribute God's gift of grace to others. You know, the New Testament has all kinds of ideas on how we can distribute God's grace to other people. They're called the one another's. We one another people, right? We're told that. 1 Peter 4:10, what we just read, we're supposed to share grace with one another. The Bible says we're to minister to one another. We're to love one another. We're to forgive one another. Pray, warn, teach, encourage one another. Be tender-hearted to one another. Have compassion on one another. See, those are the gifts of grace. Those are found in the gigantic box of grace. As you start digging through, oh, tenderness, oh, compassion, oh, mercy, oh, love, they're in there. And we're to get those and give them away. Do you understand what a cool gig that we've got? If you're a Jesus follower, this is what we get to do. We get to partner with God in gifting people's souls. Did you get that? I'm partnering with God in gifting someone's soul with grace. That's an awesome deal. What a great gig. What a cool job. That's what we get to do on this earth. That's our responsibility. We get to give away gifts. We're gift givers of love and mercy and kindness and compassion and tenderness. That's awesome. You know, we had a wonderful grace group leader here that truly understood what that meant, to be a good steward, to be a good distributor of God's grace. She was absolutely fantastic at it. And her name was Angie Wieskamp. And all who had the privilege of being connected to her relationally were recipients of God's kindness and mercy and joy and love being worked out through her life. She was the tangible expression of God's grace for others. In fact, her life literally said, "Lean on me for grace." Now, this is a picture of Angie. And here she is making dresses to be taken to little girls by those going on mission trips to Haiti and Brazil. So even in this picture that we have of her, she's giving away gifts of grace. Now, Angie went home to be with Jesus earlier this year after losing her battle with cancer. And as a way to honor her, some of her friends who have received grace from her in her lifetime were challenging others to follow her example. And here's a post on Angie's Facebook page that they put up. It says, "Grace Church family, our own Angela Wall Wieskamp would have been turning 40 this Sunday. She was so excited and really looking forward to this milestone. Now, she would not want this to be a sad day for everyone who knew her and loved her. Instead, please join us in doing acts of kindness on this day to honor our beautiful, positive, caring sister in Christ. I ask that you go out on Sunday with your friends and your family or all alone and perform an act of kindness. Please post this on Facebook, tagging Angie, so we can flood her Facebook page in celebration of her 40th birthday, which is today. We are calling this 40 Acts of Kindness, though I know it will be more like 400. Please share this message so we can spread the word and help celebrate our friend, who I believe will be smiling and dancing from heaven, watching this all take place." See, grace is outward focused. Angie was a wonderful example of that. These are the true gifts that we get to give away. And they happen as we're connected in relationship with other people. Now, there's only one problem with experiencing grace through connection with others, and that's this: you have to be connected to others, right? You have to be relational. You have to extend yourself. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be transparent. You got to be humble. You got to put yourself in that position to be in a relationship. As I mentioned earlier, relationships are the key factor in experiencing happiness and wholeness. Unfortunately, relationships are also the key factor in experiencing pain and woundedness. It's this paradox that we have to try to navigate and work through. Okay, I need relationships, but man, it hasn't worked out for me so well. See, we must strive for good, life-giving, grace-based relationships. And I want to finish today with a little illustration here. And so let me just go ahead and clear this off. And this is an illustration that I saw Dr. Henry Cloud, let me try that again, Dr. Henry Cloud give during the GLS. I've actually seen him do it before. So Henry, if you're watching, thank you. It's money. I appreciate it. There it is. So let's just imagine that this graph represents four quadrants of relationships in our life. Okay, four different types of relationships we have. And we'll start with the one we've been talking about so far, and that's this: good relationships. That's what we're striving for. That's what we need. That's where we find grace-based. That's where we find vulnerability. That's where we find safety. That's where we get the grace that we need in good, life-giving, whole relationships. Grace group leaders, if you're leading a group, that's what you're shooting for. It may take a little time to get there, but you're trying to create an environment that's safe, that's real, that's genuine, and it is grace-based. See, we call them grace groups here. Now, there's a reason we call them grace groups. First of all, it's because we call everything grace here. right? It's grace students, it's grace kids, it's grace groups, it's grace chairs, you're drinking grace coffee. So it's all grace. But we want grace to occur in those groups. We want them to be environments where grace is experienced. So that's good relationships. Now, the opposite of good relationships is what? Bad. Bad relationships, right? These are the ones that we are, that cause, they're really the core of our problems. We suffer from bad relationships, both past and present. They negatively affect the way that we view the world. They negatively affect us emotionally. They negatively affect the way we try to navigate through current relationships. So they're tough, they're toxic, they're destructive, they're codependent, they're abusive, they're negligent, they're void of the grace that our souls truly need. Bad family relationships, bad church experiences, bad group experiences, these things wound us. And instead of running into the good relationships that we truly need, we settle for something else. And this is an incredible trick of the enemy, by the way. He tries to keep us from this because he knows in good relationships, that's where grace is found. In bad relationships, you don't get what you truly need to live the purpose-filled life that God has called you to. In fact, he did this from the very beginning. When he showed up in the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He wrecked good relationships. There was good relationships here, and there was good relationships here. And the devil came in and wrecked it, and he's been doing it ever since. So we experience these bad relationships. So what do? How do we handle this? We should be running here, but what happens is we usually repel because we're like, man, I don't want to, the relationships are bad. So what we do is we go to isolation and we have no relationships. Forget it. I'm done with this. All I do is get hurt over here. And the problem is a lot of us, we haven't had many of these in life. We haven't experienced many of these good, grace-giving, genuine, vulnerable, transparent relationships. All we've really experienced are these. And so what do? We say, forget it. I'm going over here. I'm going to isolate myself. But isolation's bad. That's death. Your soul can't survive that way. God said to Adam in the garden, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. You've got a relationship with me, but I got to give you someone else that you can be connected with. So this has to happen. The problem is we get over here, we isolate ourselves, and our souls begin craving relationship. But we're scared because we've been burnt, we've been beat up. So what do? The desperation gets going and gets going, and finally we start grasping at any type of relationship that we can get. Problem is, the enemy is conveniently bringing along someone who is another bad relationship. So we wind up ping-ponging back and forth between these when we should be running, trying to get to this. Another way that we try to get out of this thing is we move into what are called fake relationships, or what psychologists would call pseudo-relationships. These are relationships with things. Now, they could be all sorts of things, but they help us navigate emotionally. They help us to deal with our own emotion. They help us to numb our pain. They could be good things. They could be working out. They could be, being involved in a club, whatever it could be. But, a lot of times they're addictive. They become addictive behaviors like food and like alcohol and like drugs and other things. A lot of times we connect relationally to a character on television, some show that we're watching, some series that we get involved in, and we connect in that way. Here's the problem. That person, they can't connect with you, and they're not real. There's a character. It's not even real for them, right? So we wind up going back and forth doing that. Well, that wasn't good. That's not satisfactory. So I have to. And so we spend our time bouncing around through here all the while. This is the relationship that we need. We must strive for good relationships in our life. See, because you cannot grow spiritually unless you're connected relationally in good, life-giving relationships. And we cheat ourselves. You know, by the way, another fake relationship you can involve yourself in is something called church. Well, I go to church every week, and I'm here, and I'm serving, and I do things. And you know what? You do all those things, and people know you on a surface level. They know you. They know you've got, three kids. They know you've got two brothers. They know your dog's name's Scruffy, but they don't know you. You're not known and being known. So what sort of relationships are you experiencing? If you were to clump your relationships, if you were to look at your relational world right now, where would you find most of your relationships? What quadrant? Let me just challenge you. Let me give you a couple action items because we need to get here. How do we get here if we're not here? A couple things. Number one, pray about it. Pray for it. Ask God. God, give me connected to good relationships. Get me connected to people who are going to be life-giving and who I can share your grace with. Pray about it. That's a prayer that God wants to answer. Secondly, go out and show grace to someone else who doesn't deserve it. Just go do it. Be part of the 40 acts of kindness. Do it today. Celebrate Angie. Go out there and share grace with somebody. You can't expect to get grace if you're not willing to give it. Go give it. And third, take the risk. Take the risk. Get back in there. Go find a grace group. Go find a group of people. You say, man, I had a bad experience in my last group. Okay. Go find another one. Well, I'm scared. I know. Go find another one. I had a bad church experience once. Well, does that mean church is bad? I mean, it's God's system. I don't think it's bad. The people in it might be bad. But let's keep working at it. Go take a risk. Get in there. Who are you leaning on for grace? Who's leaning on you for grace? Not only do you not want to cheat yourself, you don't want to cheat the other people who need what you have. Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful. Thankful for your love. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for all the gifts that come with it. And God, I'm just so blessed by you. And I know, God, in this room, I'm sure, and watching online or watching in the venue or the cafe, I'm sure there are souls that do not know your grace. They've never experienced it. They've never moved towards you for the forgiveness of their sins. They've never put their faith and trust in you. They've never called upon you to be their Lord, to be their Savior. God, I pray in this moment they would know that you love them, that you want them, that you want to give them grace. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've come from, you love them and you desire to have a relationship with them. And all they need to do is call upon you right now. And Lord, I know there's souls in here who are struggling. They're struggling with trying to have good relationships. They've experienced a number of bad. They need the good. They know they need that. And God, they're just struggling right now. Heaven is sealed off for them. God, would you move them toward relationships that are going to be life-giving and whole so they can be well in their soul? God, we love you and we know that your grace is real. And God, we want to experience it, not just know about it. So help us do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.